Welcome to all the bold, courageous, and powerful women tuning in to Find Your Fabulous. I'm your host, Dr. Diane, and it's time to ignite your full power. Are you ready to embrace your talents and worth and unleash the wise goddess within? I've got the information, inspiration, and revelation you need to ignite your personal power so you can stop playing small and reclaim the passion and purpose that we all hold within us. Connect with other powerful spiritual women who yearn to be fully expressed. The world needs you, full power. Let me guide you to find your fabulous and ignite your inner goddess. It all starts now on the Find Your Fabulous show. Hello, everyone, and Happy New Year. I'm Dr. Diane Garrison, and you are listening to Find Your Fabulous. It's time to ignite your full power on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes and let us help you experience the pathway to finding your fabulous every first and third Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time and 10 a.m. Central Time, where we will have information, inspiration, and revelation to help you ignite your personal power and reclaim the passion and purpose we all hold within us. In this episode, I'm going to share why this ancient tradition of making New Year's resolutions does not help most people make meaningful change and how we can set ourselves up for change success. So let's talk about this tradition of New Year's resolutions. Just where did this come from? Historically, the first recorded people to set New Year's pledges, which later became resolutions, are the ancient Babylonians, some 4,000 years ago. The Babylonians are also the first civilization to hold celebrations in honor of the New Year. No, for the Babylonians, the New Year began not in January, but in mid-March when the crops were being planted. New Year's resolutions for the Babylonians were intertwined with their religion, with mythology and power. For example, a common resolution would be to promise the gods they would pay their debts and return all objects they'd borrow from others during the year. Then came ancient Rome, which continued the tradition of celebrating the new year and setting New Year pledges. The Roman New Year was initially on March 15, the Ides of March, as this was the time most important Roman officials, the consuls, took office. The Emperor Julius introduced the Julian calendar in about 46 BC, which declared January 1 as the start of the new year. This new date was to honor the Roman god Janus. Symbolically, Janus had two faces, one looking back on the previous year and one looking forward into the new year. Each new year, the Romans would offer sacrifices to Janus, and people renewed bonds between citizens, the state, and the deities. Blessings and gifts were exchanged. Sounds like a holiday. For example, sweet fruit and honey, and allegiances pledged to the emperor. So again, these pledges were tied to religion and power and politics. Now, in the Middle Ages, around 500 to 1500 AD, medieval knights pledged their allegiance and renewed their vows to chivalry and knightly valor each new year. Beyond the knightly valor and honor, however, chivalry again served social and religious functions. In more modern times, religion continued to exert a significant social and cultural influence on the purpose and function of people's New Year pledges. For instance, in the 19th century, the Protestant churches emphasized setting pledges strongly aligned to religion, spirituality, and moral character. Now, Contemporary religious resolutions tend to be much more secular than religious in nature, with health and wellness resolutions probably being the most common. Lose weight, exercise more, quit smoking, drink less, give up that junk food. Conceptually, however, New Year's resolutions continue to capture people's imagination, their hopes and promises for a better life. Even after 4,000 years, the new year continues to symbolize a new threshold, an opportunity for a fresh start. Pretty cool, right? A 4,000-year-old tradition to make a commitment to a new start in the new year. So, why then do so many of our resolutions, research shows 85%, die before the end of January? Why do the vast majority of these resolutions die? Well, because change is hard. But why is change so hard? Most folks are well-intentioned, hardworking, reasonable people who want to be healthy and growth-oriented. The truth is, we humans are creatures of habit. We like feelings of safety and security, and this locks us into our routines and habits, even if they no longer serve us. Yes, we are cursed with a negatively biased nervous system that is all about searching for danger and maintaining safety. The big motivator for us is fear or avoidance of fear, and this creates a built-in resistance to making changes, to trying new things. Our very nervous system defeats our efforts to better ourselves. We create a plan for positive change, and then that critical inner voice, our inner mean girl, starts telling us all the reasons it won't work and who do we think we are anyway. And even if we begin strong in our new goals, the first misstep or challenge to our plan sets off that inner bully once again. And my guess is that most of my listeners have already experienced this built-in resistance. You're listening to Dr. Diane and the Find Your Fabulous Show, and you can find out all about my empowerment programs at fullpowerwomen.com. And we are discussing the problems with New Year's resolutions. You know, it takes a lot of effort. It takes stepping outside of our comfort zone and taking risks to create lasting, meaningful change, with no guarantee that all our efforts will be successful. That, my friends, is scary stuff. And if you already feel like you have too much on your plate, the whole change process can feel daunting, overwhelming even. Then there is this basic truth that a lot of resolutions are based on what we think other folks think we should do. They think we should exercise more, lose weight, go for that graduate degree, quit smoking. And because it is not you sensing into your own growth needs, but trying to fit in or please others, well, consider that resolution dead before it even begins. Making meaningful and lasting change requires a heartfelt commitment, a can-do attitude, and a lot of planning and consistent support. But even beyond the commitment, planning, and support, change requires a foundation of self-worth and self-care. You think that losing weight will boost your self-esteem, but if you don't already value yourself, if you don't treat yourself with patience and kindness, chances are your well-meaning efforts will fail. What mindset sounds like it has a better chance of working? God, I'm so fat. I can't fit into most of my clothes. I am disgusted at what I see in the mirror. If I could just lose those 15 pounds, I will feel so much better. Or, I really desire to feel comfortable in my body, to feel fit and full of energy with less pain in my joints. I choose to follow a lifestyle I can be proud of, knowing I am modeling for my kids how to treat yourself well. And I am worth the extra dollars to work with a health coach. The second one sounds like it might work, right? That is why in both my women's empowerment coaching and my therapy services, the first step in healing is improving my clients' relationship with themselves. Learning to recognize the voice of the inner critic and purposely softening her messages is true empowerment. Any other desired change is going to be so much easier once you believe in yourself and know how to apply self-kindness and compassion. And if you want some great tips on softening that inner mean girl, take a listen to my last podcast on December 18th, where I was interviewing Master Coach Amy Ehlers, the creator of the Inner Mean Girl Reform School. So let's review. New Year's resolutions, this desire to start the new year with good intentions, is over 4,000 years old. However, most modern day New Year's resolutions die before the end of January because change is hard. Our very nervous systems resist it by triggering the voice of the inner critic. The uncomfortable known, the status quo, is less scary than the new and unknown. We are going to head into a short break, and then I want to share the factors that boost your chances for success, as well as a process to begin defining what your growth needs and desires truly are. But before we break, you can find out all about me and my empowerment coaching at www.fullpowerwomen.com or email me at drdiane@fullpowerwomen.com. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Activate your DNA with the Light Codes of Creation and implement the life of your dreams with the help of Pam Bright, a multidimensional healer, a light language channel, and a spiritual transformational coach. Pam offers a variety of sessions to heal your mind, body, and soul vibrations. She will connect you with your spirit team, activate your chakras, and more. Not sure what service is best for your journey? Find out by scheduling a free discovery call by visiting brightbutterflynetwork.com.
Designing Purpose, your guide to finding and pursuing the career you were meant for, with me, your host, Brooke Kretz, airing every second and fourth Thursday at 3:30 p.m. Pacific Time, 6:30 p.m.
Hello, we're back on the Find Your Fabulous show with Dr. Diane, and we are talking about why New Year's resolutions don't work and what does motivate lasting change. So most New Year's resolutions die before the end of January because change is hard. There's this strange paradox that the primal energy of life itself is growth. From the seed to the full expression of the blooming rose, from the infant to the full-grown adult. This is true for plants, animals, humans, and even this ever-expanding spiral galaxy we call our own. And yet, our very primitive, negatively biased nervous systems are set on resisting change. We feel fear and preserving the status quo, which feels safe, even if it no longer serves us. So it's soul force versus human security needs. And often the security needs win out. So, what really causes motivation to change? In a word, pain. When our current conditions, either inside and or outside, become too painful to bear, we are motivated to get help and create change and healing. It's kind of a screwy human truth if you think about it, but is one of the big reasons my career as a psychologist exists. But we want growth. We want healing. We want a joy-filled and satisfying life. So how can we be more successful with our growth, intentions, and goals? Here we go. First, take time to reflect, to meditate, and journal on what you truly desire to create in your life. Mostly we set goals by using our intellect, our ego, and the should and musts of our critical mind. How would your intentions and actions be different if you tapped into your inner wisdom and reflected upon the areas of your life which hold the most energy for transformation and change? Second, get some healthy support. Secret goals are the first to die. Share with trusted others your intentions and ask for encouragement and even help with an accountability partner. And if you need professional guidance to reach your goals, know that you are worth it and get the help, whether it's a personal trainer, a health coach, a therapist, or a life coach. I've had all of these people. Be very patient with yourself. This is the third tip. Beating yourself up will not help you stick to your intentions. You've already tried being critical and it didn't work. Self-compassion, on the other hand, has been proven by research to be very beneficial. And here's the secret sauce. Hold a vision, a very detailed vision of what the changed, empowered you will look like, feel like, sound like, act like. You can write out like a script or you can do a vision board, but create an intimate connection to this future self and see her encouraging you every step of the way. Read your vision in present tense every day. It might sound like this. I'm so happy and grateful now that I feel fit and strong. My clothes fit so well and my energy is vibrant. I sleep well and I can engage in all my favorite activities. By doing this vision and revisiting it every day, you are informing the universe exactly what you tend to create and manifest. And that is the only way the universe can support you. Before we get into a reflection process practice, I want to share with you about my own pain-induced drop kick into change. True confession, for about 30 years of my adult life, I was running on pure perfectionist push energy, afraid that slowing down would mean I'd fail and all my hard work and achievements would crumble. So I pushed and pushed and pushed till I hit a wall and burnt out. I was depressed, I was disgusted with myself, and unable to hold up the mask of, I got it all together anymore. Perhaps you can relate to this. I prayed for an answer, and miraculously, it seemed, it came right on time, in the form of the teachings and practices, first of self-compassion, and next of feminine power. My life became transformed. Can you imagine how sweet it can feel to finally look at yourself with eyes of love and kindness, compassion, and forgiveness? And I could hold with pride that I was a badass, meant to share these powerful tools with others. And this is how my women's empowerment programs were born. Now, I won't lie, it was a lot of work, sometimes even painful, but it was also fun and empowering, and I was held and supported by my mentor and the community I was learning and growing in. That's why my programs have groups. So, now I'd love to share a process I use in my own growth and healing and that I teach to many of my clients. There will be a worksheet for you to download later. But for now, if you have it, pen and paper will serve. Now, there are 8 core areas of life that women experience the most desire for growth. Relationship with self. We've been talking a lot about that. Relationship with others. Career, job, and finances. Calling and purpose. How do I share my gifts? Health and wellness, creativity, play and fun, spirituality, and legacy or contribution. For today's purposes, we're going into a meditative reflective process with two of these very common areas of concern, the relationship with self and health and wellness. I'm going to turn on some music and then guide you to a deeper reflective place, and we will ask for some guidance from our inner wisdom. And whether you have something to journal with or you just want to go with the meditation, you will get a good idea how to complete this process on your own. So, Emily, the meditation music, please. All right. Dear ones, close your eyes. Bring your focus and attention gently, yet purposely inward. Feel your feet connecting to the floor, your seat on your chair, your back against the backrest, your hands, wherever they may be resting. And then just take this deep, slow breaths, breathing all the way into your hip space, and then releasing fully with every exhale. Breathing in and letting go. Breathing in and letting go. Breathing in and letting go. And then letting your breath find its own natural. As we call up the energy of our wise woman. First calling up the energy of all our gifts, talents, strengths, life experience, life wisdom. Calling in our ability to look at the big picture. Calling in our soul force, our connection to the divine. And even calling in the wisdom of our future self, who already has it all figured out. And then just feeling, sensing into this energy, this wisdom, this vibrancy, this connection to the divine. And trust that there is much wisdom within you. Then we ask in your wisdom a first question. What is it that I most deeply desire to express, to create, to experience my relationship with myself? What is it I most deeply desire to experience, express and create? Maybe it's self-love, becoming my own best friend, freedom from the inner critic. What is it that I most deeply desire? And then opening up your inner ears, opening up your inner eyes, and letting any wisdom that may come float into you, whether it's a word, an image, a phrase, a song, color. What is it I most deeply desire? And if you wish, take a moment to write down any wisdom, any thoughts that occurred to you. Just write them down. Okay. And then come right back into this inner space. Breathing, relaxing. Next, we ask a second question. What is it I most deeply desire to experience, to express, to create in my own health and wellness? Maybe it's healing. Maybe it's fitness. Maybe it's freedom from depression. What is it that I most deeply desire to experience, to express, and to create in the area of my health and wellness? And then opening up those ears, opening up those inner eyes, welcoming in any information, which is holding space for any wisdom. And if you wish, taking a moment to jot down some notes. Otherwise, just keep breathing, floating this energy within. Now giving gratitude for this process and for the work you just did. Allow yourself to take 3 really deep and cleansing breaths in and out, in and out, in and out. When you're ready, open your eyes and return to the room. Emily, you can end the music. So I wonder what you heard. When you take more time on your own with the worksheet, know that you may receive information on growth desires in many life areas, but one will have the most energy, the most oomph, so to speak. And that is the best place to begin your healing and growth journey. Then, using the 4 pointers I outlined earlier, tuning into your deepest desires for growth, get some healthy support, be very patient and kind with yourself, and create a detailed vision of what the new, changed, and empowered you will look, feel, and behave like. Then it's time to take action, one baby step at a time. Now, change can be hard, but the rewards are oh so great. Now, remember to look for the worksheet PDF on the podcast description, and I have another special gift for you. To help you review 2023 in a very generative and loving way, take advantage of Master Coach and Women's Leadership Expert Amy Ehler's End of the Year Ritual. It will again be posted on the podcast bio, and you can learn all about my coaching at fullpowerwomen.com or contact me at drdiane@fullpowerwomen.com. I want to thank you all for tuning in to Find Your Fabulous with Dr. Diane. I had a wonderful time. Please join me every first and third Wednesday of the month at 8 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Central, and 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Next time on Find Your Fabulous on January 15th, I will be interviewing integrative physician and menopause expert Dr. Rose Kumar, and we will discuss how menopause can actually be a time of empowerment for women. Have a great day, have a happy new year, and I'll see you back in a couple of weeks. Bye. I'm your host, Dr. Diane, and you have been listening to Find Your Fabulous. It's time to ignite your full power. Tune in every first and third Monday of the month at 8 a.m. Pacific Time on Transformation Talk Radio for information, inspiration, and revelation to ignite your personal power. Connect with other bold, courageous, and powerful women who are ready to stop playing small and reclaim the passion and purpose that we all hold within us. The world needs you, full power. To find your fabulous and ignite your inner goddess, visit fullpowerwomen.com.